Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right, everybody. We've got a tremendous show for you today. We've got Dr. Michelle Wiener on the line. We're going to talk all things hemp and cannabis and your health and wellness. We've got Nikki Freed going to join us in a couple minutes. She's wrapping up a call, and she'll be on the show, too. With Nikki, we'll talk about the state's COVID-19 response, food insecurity, and, of course, the new hemp rules and anything cannabis and all kinds of other new initiatives that they're working on up in Tallahassee. So we're going to rock and roll. Reagan, let's pay some bills. Let's get right back and talk to Dr. Michelle and Nikki Freed here today on Freed on Business. All right, everybody, if you were watching my Facebook feed earlier today, you know that I was at Warren Henry getting my car serviced. Boy, oh boy, the PPE was everywhere. It was like coming home for a family reunion. No hugs, no kisses, no real high fives, but lots of positive energy. Everybody's eyes were smiling. So when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti and Jaguar, up in Gainesville, they sell Audis. Down in the Keys, well, they've got all the name brands down there. What do they all have in common? Well, they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means you get complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, the guaranteed purchase offer, the best value guarantee, and my favorite, the 72-hour exchange. You can take 3 full days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Hate and spread some love.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are brave.
It's actually pretty easy.
We have a voice. We have the power.
We have so much strength when we come together. It's your choice.
So choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting.
Be strong. Be daring. Be awesome. Be kind.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
All right, and if you want to choose kindness and you need a little help and a little cash, give me a call. Right now, the federal government's offering great real estate loans on your home. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. I'm working with 6 of my friends right now to help them refinance their home or buy a new one and lower their payments. It's just like getting a stimulus check every month. Just think how relaxed you'll be if you have cash in the bank. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Foreign national, no problem. So call me, 305-773-6300. Why call me? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed 1. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we've got a great show for you today. The first half of the show is Freed on Weed. We've got Dr. Michelle Wiener. Dr. Michelle keeps my wife and I with both our feet on the ground. She provides tremendous service to us as our doctor and as our community director for the entire state of marijuana policy. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Michelle. How are you and how's your family doing during this COVID thing?
Thank you for having me. We're all wonderful. I actually am on my way to the office now after I was teaching my 4 and 6 year old school this morning. So it's quite a different schedule for me, but I'm enjoying being present and and enjoying the change, and we're all healthy, so I can't complain.
That's beautiful. That part of the human experience is something that's just absolutely unmatched. Hold on, Nikki just texted me. Let's see what's going on. She's calling in now. Okay, so Michelle, you're on this statewide hemp and marijuana advisory board. Tell me a little bit about that while we're waiting for the commissioner to join us.
Sure. So the Department of Agriculture has a medical marijuana advisory committee where there's about 20 of us, attorneys, doctors, advocates, patients, and we help make suggestions so that our commissioner, Nikki, can implement some of our ideas. So, for example, when there was that 10% THC cap that was discussed, we made a statement about that. Now we're dealing with telemedicine, so we're going to make a statement about what we feel should continue in terms of telemedicine for our follow-up cannabis patients. So we just help the commissioner, and it's a nice forum for us because it's a lot of the people that are really involved in Florida, so we all get different opinions. So even from a physician aspect to an attorney to a patient to a veteran to a mom of a patient. So it's really nice to work with everybody. It's just that we get frustrated because a lot of the Department of Health, the Department of Health has a lot of say in what goes on, and so the Department of Health and Agriculture are two different departments, and even though we make our suggestions, sometimes the Department of Health is the one that's making the decision.
Okay. Nikki's trying to check in, and she's got a wrong code, so I'm going to work on that for a second. In the meantime, Michelle, talk a little bit about the impact that you've seen on your patients from the vast change that we've all had here, and how people are dealing with the stress and what CBD might have to do with that stress.
Sure. So luckily they allowed telemedicine for our follow-up patients. So we were able to, over the past 2.5 months, see our patients through telehealth, whether it's Zoom or another electronic type of way. And this kind of goes along with CMS and Medicare guidelines for follow-up patients. However, we're not allowed to see initial patients, and so or new consultations. And so what's happened, and I just did a study with my friend Denise Vito at University of Miami. We did a survey looking at cannabis use during the coronavirus because they deemed it essential. So a lot of the dispensaries are open. And so they found that there's been probably a 30% increase in cannabis use during this time. There's also a 16% change from inhalation to oral use, like a capsule or tincture. And so we've seen more patients wanting to be patients. However, we can't do telemedicine for new patients, so we would still be in the office for that. And telemedicine ends this Friday unless they choose to extend it. But I've seen an increase in the patients who have generalized anxiety or insomnia, and they don't really have medical records because it's just something new. And so I find like a lot of them are using CBD to help with stress and anxiety, and others are needing to get their medical card and start using the dispensaries to use THC as well. And we have been suggesting using more of an oral route of administration than inhalation for the obvious reason that we want to protect our lungs as much as we can, decrease any inflammation. And it's not like we're saying cannabis can cure or treat any type of virus. It's a immunomodulator, meaning it can suppress the immune system or enhance. So it's definitely something we're using for symptoms. So more people are anxious, they're home, they may have lost their job, they may be dealing with their kids 24 hours a day, or they're not sleeping well. So a lot of people are choosing this time when they're home to start experimenting with how cannabis affects them, and I've seen a lot of benefits, and I'm really grateful that they allowed for telemedicine.
So, I'm grateful for that too. But what I've really seen is a lot of my friends have really started taking it. People that haven't done it before have begun taking it. Now, you mentioned that. Oh God!
Right. No, I mentioned that there's an increase in the use, and it's kind of interesting because they deemed it essential. So all the dispensaries were still open, which really shows that even though it's still a Schedule I drug, the many states are realizing that it is a medication and that we need this, especially in times of extra stress.
So then what have you seen in the evolution of the treatment? I know new products are coming out all the time.
Well, you're talking about like new research in terms of using cannabis to treat coronavirus?
Yes, and stuff like that.
Well, there's being that it's an anti-inflammatory, people may use CBD, but, there's nothing that actually says that, there's no evidence that says cannabinoids could, you know, increase the risk of a viral infection or decrease the risk of it or prevent or treat it. But again, it's really modulating your immune system to help you fight an infection. There was a recent study, I think it was done in Canada, where they took, high CBD cannabis plants, and it affected the ACE2 pathways, which may be a pathway that it attacks the lungs, and the virus is able to access the body through this. So there was a new study that came out, but what's great is that the government is giving a lot of money now for grants for coronavirus. So I'm actually applying for one now to look at a water-soluble nanoemulsion, so another route of administration, so people won't have to vape or smoke. And it's a great time to look into this because a lot of people are starting to be more aware of the respiratory complications and they want a safer way of medicating to prevent any complications if they were to get the virus. So a lot of the grants right now are really looking at ways of treating coronavirus. And so cannabis, you know, if there's a potential hypothesis that cannabis can do something, you're more likely to get the grant. So that's a good thing that's going on right now in research in the United States.
Wow. So then what can we expect going forward?
So I think that a lot of people are going to continue to use more of a tincture sublingually or a capsule or even an edible form and not be as likely to vape or smoke. I mean, we just came off of the whole vaping epidemic with the vitamin E acetate. And now with coronavirus, people are more hesitant to smoke or vape anything. So I think people will start using more of an oral route of administration. I also think they'll probably use CBD more regularly because people are using that due to increased stress during this time. And the fact that they deem dispensaries essential is a really great point going forward to try to help us deschedule the plan.
Okay, so then let's talk about the general application then. We talked about the fact that more people are taking tincture now, or that's rising. It would seem to me that would be kind of new people, not people that are smokers, you know?
Say that again. You're saying that new people would start off, new people are starting off with more of an oral route of administration.
Correct.
But actually, those that have been vaping and smoking and choose that, there's been a 16%. That's what we found in the survey that we did. We got like over 2,000 people to complete the survey in multiple states, and actually, I think out of the United States as well. And there's people are trending towards leaving the inhalation route. So those who smoke or vape are looking into capsules or tinctures, and I think that is going to continue because now people are going to be fearful of the virus and also fearful of the cutting agents and additives people are putting in vapes. And then once they find that the oral route may work, they may just stick with that because there's more research on the risk of an oral route than inhalation. So it may continue like this, not just for new patients, but for patients who have been smoking for years, they may switch over too.
You know, I think that's probably a real thing. I'm going through that myself. I'm going to now say we're talking HIPAA stuff. I'm going to go against that. And that's an experience that I've had as well. Listen, Michelle, let's hold on. Let's take a quick break here. And then I'm going to work while we're on the break to get Nikki on the line. She's been having problems with the link that we sent her. So she's here. We're going to get her on, and we're going to go from there.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go. Nikki's on the phone, and
yes,
Ray.
I'm here.
Excellent.
I've been here for about 6 minutes.
Well, no one told me that. Welcome to the show, Nikki Fried, Commissioner of Agriculture. We're here with Dr. Michelle, who's on the marijuana board with you. We're going to skip the break right now. We're going to just go through it and keep talking. So, Nicole, welcome to the show. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on here statewide in the recovery of the COVID-19. There's been somewhat of a controversy about access to information. Is there anything you'd like to tell us that's been going on that would be good for the public to know?
Well, no, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, inside of agriculture, you know, one of the things that I've been, you know, all the things that we've been focusing on as commissioner, it's been a couple fold, actually. You know, one is making sure that everybody's got access to food. So we oversee the food nutrition programs in the entire state, and so making sure that all of our kids still had access to food even when schools were closed was a top priority. We also coordinate with all of our food banks to make sure that our vulnerable populations during this time still have access to food. And unfortunately, with the increase of unemployment and underemployment, we're having to feed a lot more families in the state of Florida. So it's our goal to make sure that we are getting nutritious food, getting timely food to everybody. And then obviously we oversee agriculture. And agriculture historically is number two economic driver of our state. With 2 million workers, with 147,000 working farms and ranches across the entire state, $137 billion economic impact. And right now during COVID, with tourism basically plummeting and stopping, agriculture has become the number one economic driver. But even with that, unfortunately, we saw significant detriment to the agriculture industry with all of our typical food service demands gone. That means that the same number of restaurants were not, you know, ordering the same amount of food to our schools, to the cruise line industry, all of our big purchasers. So we have seen about a $522 million loss of agriculture over the last 6 weeks. And so we're working with a lot of our farmers across the entire state to really bring them directly to the consumers. We have bent over backwards and leaving no stone unturned to really create that connection between the two. And I keep calling this a consumer conscious awakening, that more and more consumers across the state are realizing how important it is to buy domestic, to buy local, to find out where your local farmers are and buy directly from them. So we had stood up a web page on our website that allowed our agriculture producers to upload all of the commodities that they had available and all of our consumers to be able to go online, find out where the local farmers are, farmers markets, UPIC. Tremendous success. We had about 360 plus different commodities put onto the website with about 500,000 hits in about less than a month. So it's been a tremendous success, but unfortunately, you know, we still saw losses here in our state that will take us some time to recoup. But outside of agriculture, you know, one of my other big responsibilities is I'm a member of the cabinet. I'm one of four of our statewide elected officials, independently elected cabinet officer. And so I've been very, you know, I've been hard and holding the governor accountable to make sure that he's giving out accurate information. And unfortunately, we just aren't seeing that. You know, I've been very, trying to hold them up and say, you know, where are all of our numbers coming from our nursing homes? Where are the numbers coming in from our prisons and the outbreaks that are happening in the prisons? And including the hearing from medical examiners that they were being told to not report COVID cases. And then recently, you know, last week and a half, we heard about the woman who actually created the dashboard. She has been asked to manipulate data and then was fired subsequently afterwards when she refused to do so. So I'm very concerned that the information that we are receiving from the governor's office isn't up to date, isn't accurate. And this is the information that we as the state of Florida, local government, businesses, family members are having to rely on in order to open up our businesses. And for sure, we want our state to succeed and we want our economy to start again. Tourism is essential to our state. But if we're not doing it properly and we're putting people into harm's way and we're not being honest with people, how are we going to get individuals to come travel here to the state of Florida if they can't rely on the fact that we're doing everything we can as to keep our state safe? You know, unfortunately, we are seeing all of the reports from over the weekend and Memorial Day. All of our beaches were open for the most part. You know, South Florida, not as much, but I think you guys got down there 6 inches of rain that precluded from people from going out anyhow. But everywhere else, unfortunately, you know, we saw the beaches packed. I know myself, I saw personally, some areas up here in the panhandle where, people were out and about with no masks. Restaurants were at full capacity with employees and people in the kitchens not wearing masks. There was no social distancing, no 25% capacity of restaurants. It was 100% capacity. And so I'm worried. I'm worried that those individuals will now, have been exposed, go home to, you know, whether, you know, where in the panhandle, they may have been coming in from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. And now we're going to be continuing to spread the virus throughout the Southeast. So that's concerning of mine that we're going to see a tremendous uptick in cases within the next, 10 days or so.
Is that going to strain our hospital system, or is our hospital system now adequately supported so that we can sustain a second wave if it should occur?
You know, that was always a concern, and a concern of certainly the director of the emergency management, is that if we had seen the early projections, that we would have run out of hospital spaces. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, that certainly the numbers are we're still kind of steady on our hospital capacity. But surely, you know, if we start seeing an uptick, and don't forget, we've gone back to elective surgeries in the hospitals. So you're going to see a typical uptrend of just general procedures, and whether or not we see this huge uptick, which, you know, is a concern of mine, that what will it look like in our hospitals?
Well, you know, the agriculture department still operates. During this virus, you came through with your hemp regulations. Talk about those a little bit and some of the other things that are going on during the regular course of the functioning of your office during this pandemic.
Yeah, you know, so one of the greatest things that, you know, that we've been able to accomplish in the department is last year we had legislation that was passed and signed into law to legalize hemp here in the state of Florida for cultivation and processing, manufacturing, and to allow the Department of Agriculture to start to regulate CBD products here in the state of Florida. So we were able to finish our rules in 2019 regarding the regulations of CBD. They went into effect beginning of January of 2020. We have already are starting to get everybody registered who is selling CBD products. So if you are going as a consumer and customer going somewhere and buying CBD, please ask them if they have received their certificate from the Department of Agriculture. If they have not, please do not purchase it, and please report it to us. So that we can get them registered, because what that does is allow us to go into the facilities and actually test the product. I know that we were making huge claims for a significant period of time that a lot of the CBD that was being sold either had zero CBD in it, had high THC in it, mislabeling of ingredients, and unfortunately having, you know, large amounts of other types of pesticides, fertilizers, and chemicals and metals inside of it. And so what we've been able to do is really go through and start testing those products. And unfortunately, we were correct that we are seeing already a huge amount of the products that we've tested that have been mislabeled, saying that it's supposed to be 25 milligrams of CBD and it's maybe 5, having a lot of lead in a lot of the products. And we're trying to get to the bottom of it's the lead coming from the actual CBD itself, or a lot of it, I think, coming from the bottles. And so we are starting to do that. And so it's been, you know, it's definitely going to take some time because a lot of CBD is being sold in the state of Florida. But we are certainly going to start working on getting that cat back into the bag. But what's interesting about that, and I know Dr. Wiener can also attest to this, we are the only state in the entire country who is regulating CBD. We will be the gold standard for the whole country. FDA can't figure out how to regulate CBD. So we started, and, you know, so it definitely creates a competitive advantage for any of our CBD producers here in the state, because we are going to have, people can rely on the fact that they are quality products and that they're getting exactly what they paid for. But the other part of what we were able to do, and finalize, this year is start accepting applications on April 27th. I did try for April 20th. USDA gave us kept our application for a week longer than we had anticipated, but we are now giving out applications to start cultivating here in the state. This is also a tremendous win for our economy. This is an opportunity for our ag producers and our farmers out there to start creating this alternative crop here in our state, and to really start looking at not just the CBD side of this, but utilizing hemp for the fiber side, replacements of our styrofoams, our plastics, our papers, using it for hempcrete instead of concrete, which is the releasing of less carbon into the environment, using it in the fashion industry for a replacement of cotton. And also we have one group that is doing a pilot program in the central part of our state that is using hemp plants to start trying to see how it can clean up our waterways from all the blue-green algae and the red tide that we unfortunately sometimes experience here in our state. So we received already over 1,000 applications to start cultivating. So that's some of the things that we continue to do while we were down at, you know, COVID response. The other thing is that we have been experiencing a tremendous uptick in wildfires in the state of Florida. We had going for a period of time about 60 to 70 fires throughout the entire state, all for different reasons. But the expansion of the fires to, we had one that was in Collier County that was almost 9,000 acres. Up in the panhandle, we had two simultaneous fires, one at almost 600 acres, the other one over 2,000, almost 2,500. And the reasons, like I said, that they started were different. But the reason why they spread is because of us going through a tremendous drought in the central part of the state and changing of humidity up in the northern part. So really encouraging everybody to not burn in their backyards. To, you know, we were concerned about Memorial Day weekend, people wanting to grill out and be outside. Please making sure that they, if they're barbecuing, that it's far away from their house, that there's no tree limbs or shrubbery around their grills. Not to do any open fire, trash fires. That was one of the fires that started in the panhandle, was from an open trash fire. And everybody be conscious of the fact that we are at the height of our fire season, and to be just extra cautious. You know, Smokey the Bear is making much more appearances across the state, and hopefully trying to educate everybody of how not to start fires and to be able to enjoy the natural lands that we so love about the state of Florida.
Now, we've only got a couple seconds left. Hurricane season is upon us. The second one just formed, and it hasn't even started hurricane season yet. Are we ready as a state?
We're getting there. We have actually our first cabinet meeting tomorrow morning since February. It's one of the other sticking points that I've been harping the governor on. He's canceled all of our cabinet meetings since the pandemic, which was a tremendous frustration on my part. And so we are having our first cabinet meeting tomorrow. And one of the agenda items is to, in fact, review the procedures of evacuations and shelters and getting us up-to-date information about those and approving new plans. So I have confidence in our emergency management teams across the state that we're going to be ready. You know, we do a lot of planning. You know, COVID is definitely going to put a little bit of a wrinkle in the situation as far as evacuations and shelters, considering social distancing is going to still be in place. But we are working through it and have had a sense of conversations with our emergency management here in Tallahassee to focus on some of those, you know, changing of, do we need to really evacuate everybody? Maybe sometimes now with new building codes, you know, maybe our thoughts on evacuations are different, and certainly trying to make sure that there's enough shelters in place that we can still social distance if necessary. But we'll be ready. I have complete confidence in our state. This is, you know, every single year we go through hurricane season. I'm somebody born and raised in Miami, went through Hurricane Andrew. I went over my house. We all still have PTSD for those of us who lived through Andrew and certainly still dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Michael up here in the panhandle. You know, but we are resilient. The citizens of the state of Florida have a miraculous way of coming together, supporting one another, and we'll get through it just like everything else we do.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for joining us, Commissioner. I know you had a hard stop at 12:30. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I want to stay within the rules so we can get you again.
I appreciate that.
Thank you so very much for protecting us and giving us transparency. We look forward to having you back on the show. We didn't talk to Dr. Michelle once while you were on. Michelle, at least say something to her.
Hi, Michelle.
Commissioner, it's so nice to hear your voice.
And you too.
Thank you for all you do for us. I'm so impressed with everything you're doing and how much you're helping Florida get through this. So we're all happy that you're our leader right now.
I appreciate that, Michelle. And certainly once that this is all said and done and we all can start being together, looking forward to coming back to South Florida and visiting everybody, all my friends and loved ones across the state. So everybody be safe out there.
Thank you so much, Nikki Fried, Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services for the state of Florida. No, you got to go. Thanks for protecting us all. Thanks for being transparent. Thank you for being you.
Thank you. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye. Michelle, if you want, you can stick with us. I know you're going to your office. Just let us know. I want to thank you, Dr. Michelle, for being on the show. Michelle, do you have time to stick with us for another segment, or you got to go to your doctoring?
I'm actually parking right now. So
all right. Perfect. Listen, thank you so much. We're going to have you on again real soon, all on your own, to talk about the different benefits that we're seeing with THC and CBD and how it's helping people.